This is a session from the Renew Spiritual Leadership Conference at Lancaster Baptist Church in June of 2014.
The Ministry of Care Groups. Let me share a couple of things then just by way of introduction. Care groups is essential. The subtitle to today's lesson and the time that we have is how your church can grow larger and smaller at the same time. We're going to conclude our lesson with a thought today about the fact that everybody wants to attend a thriving, exciting, growing, evangelistic, enthusiastic, wonderful church that is small. We don't like, parking in the back 40 and people taking our spot and having to stand in line and so on. We want the convenience of some of those things. And it's possible to reach a lot of people and to see the church grow and yet keep it small at the same time. And it's through a very intentional process of making sure that people's needs are met. And we do that here at Lancaster Baptist Church, first and foremost through the Adult Bible Fellowships. Those are our adult Sunday school classes, small groups, however you refer to those. And then within the classes, we do that through care groups, all right? So this room we're meeting in right now is the room that my class meets in every Sunday. As we meet together, the Lord's blessed our class. We have folks being at it all the time. And then as we've structured the class, and so I have 10 care group leaders. I have 10 couples who serve as care group leaders in my class, and every one of them have 5 to 7 families that they care for, okay? 5 to 7 families in each care group. I rotate those families about once every 6 months. Once every 6 months, we change it up. I've read books that say you should do it by zip code. Find the people who live near the care group leaders and make it convenient that way. The last time, I did a draft. And I got all my care group leaders and their wives together. We had lunch, and I started with the roll, and I said, so-and-so, who wants them? So-and-so, who wants them? And the idea was, give them some ownership. Let them, hey, I know them. I want to get to know them. I know them. I want to minister to them. So I did it that way. I just, if I can find a different way to do it every time, I will, just to keep it fresh. But you want to get them involved in the ownership of who it is and whom they're ministering to. And so 5 to 7 families, rotating that about every 6 months, and encouraging them to provide some things along the way. Today I'm going to talk about really kind of why we need care groups and what good care group leaders should do. And here's what I want to encourage you. Hopefully today's session then will inspire you for the need of a ministry of this nature in your church. It may be produced a little differently than we do it here, and that's fine. But hopefully the idea will carry through. If you are the person who's going to execute the oversight of it, hopefully it will equip you and even be a lesson that you can almost teach verbatim to a group of people in your church that you prayerfully will select as care group leaders. And then if you are a care group leader, hopefully it'll challenge you individually. And if you're just looking for a place to buy time and air conditioning till lunch, it'll accomplish that as well before we go. All right? The ministry of care groups. Now, every Sunday morning, adults come to church, experience 3 things. First of all, to be influenced by worship, to be instructed in the Word, and to be impacted by friends. That's what they're looking for when they come to church. They want to worship God. We've heard great instruction on that already this morning. We'll not spend time on it. They want to be instructed by His Word. And of course, we know that happens through the preaching ministry primarily, but then also through the lessons of the class as well. But then they want to be impacted by friends. People want to feel like they matter. Not like we want them there to fill a seat, put money in the offering plate, and then get out of our building. They want to feel like they matter. They want to feel like they belong. They want to feel like this is family. People really care about me here. They know my name. They know what I'm going through. I matter in this place. And people ought to matter to us because they matter to God. The gospel light attracts a lot of strange bugs. We all know that, all right? And if you're going to be in the ministry any length of time, you're going to rub shoulders with some people. You're just not quite sure what God was thinking, but it is what it is, all right? But God loves them, and we should love them as well. I appreciated the statement this morning. We should never get over the opportunity to just get down and bend a knee with anybody at an altar and try to be a help and a blessing to them. That should be our heart, and that's what they're looking for. And the care group ministry can be a ministry in principle that meets that needs of impactful friendships and ministering to their needs. The purpose of an adult ministry, and I'm giving you some introduction that's not in the notes, but it's in my heart because of the dynamic of who's in this room, is in existence to reach people, teach people, minister to people, okay? My His Design class exists to reach people, teach people, minister to people. We want everyone in the class involved in reaching people, teaching people, ministering to people, all right? How do we reach people? Getting the class involved in outreach. We've heard a lot about that this conference and even this morning. How do we teach them? Through the lesson and through discipleship. We'll talk about that at 1:30 in this room this afternoon, and I'm looking forward to that. Then how do we minister to them? Here at Lancaster Baptist Church, we do that through the care group ministry that we're going to talk about right now. That's how we accomplish that area of the need or the mechanism that we use to help them in that way, all right? So how can we structure a care group ministry to be effective? What do we need to understand about it this morning as we look at this very quickly? Well, let me give you, first of all, the reasons for care groups. And I'm going to run through this for sake of time, but why do we need care groups? And if you're here, and the majority are in this room right now, kind of listening to this session with kind of a attentive, okay, do we need this and how would this help us? So let me just kind of give you a sales pitch for a minute here. Why you need care groups or something like it in the order and structure of your church. 7 reasons very quickly. Number 1, because pain and hurt are part of life. The Bible says in Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Don't have time to develop it, but when Adam's sin centered into the bloodstream of humanity, death by sin, we know all that, Romans 5:12. But I believe as things wax worse and worse, so does the pain and hurt. I'm ever amazed at the needs that we're meeting in the lives of people, even young people, and the amount of destruction and despair that they face. It's an unbelievable thing, and it just means they need more care. The days of somebody coming to church, getting saved, leaving it all at the altar, and from that day forward, never missing Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, tithing, revival meetings. I don't get a lot of those. That would be great. But a lot of the ones we get to that level took a whole lot more than just one service and one altar call. That doesn't mean that God isn't as powerful. It just means they have so much baggage. The life is already so fragmented that to put it all together and to get it ready for the King's use, it's just going to take some labor of love in their life. And that's a reason for this type of a ministry. Letter B, because every believer needs the company of other believers. We need the company of other believers. There's no lone ranger in the Christianity, if you will, and we need the fellowship and the encouragement of one another. It speaks there in Hebrews of unto one another, provoking unto love and unto good works. We need the encouragement of those things. And I recognize that happens in other venues of the church, but through the care group ministry, it's happening intently. It's happening expressly and with intensity, and it's something believers need. Letter C, because everyone needs encouragement to grow spiritually. I love the passage here in Ecclesiastes and the reminder that we need the encouragement of others. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And it's the way that God made us. What ministries or structures do we have in our church that is promoting that? Sometimes we come together for the corporate time of worship, but we're not really doing anything intentionally to get those people together during the week. And they need to be connecting. I mean, let's be honest, they're in your church for a fraction of the time they're at work. So take the guy that works around a bunch of unsaved, wicked, heathen, ungodly people. Now, thank God he's in church, but it would be great if he had some friendships from the church that he could get connected with during the week. It would be great if maybe they were having a barbecue or they were doing this or they were doing that. And that's what something like a care group ministry is designed to accomplish in the lives of the people and certainly the new believers in your church. Those who say that I can live a successful Christian life without the association or encouragement of other believers is either deceived or a liar. We need those things, and the care group ministry is designed to meet it. Letter D, because everyone learns from others. I'm thankful for our pastor in this ministry, and no doubt he's taught me a lot, and everyone who comes in attendance every Sunday learns as well. But you know what I have found? There are people in our class whose lives have been more impacted by their care group leader than our pastor or me, because they just connected. And there was some ministry that happened at a kitchen table in somebody's home that far surpassed something we did in a lesson or a message. And that's not demeaning the other. I'm just showing you the importance of getting people connected around the things of the Lord. Everybody learns from others. Letter E, because caring is what Jesus would have us to do. And I don't have time to develop that, but this was the heart of Christ, I believe, and he would have us to be involved in this. And certainly he provided the example as he gave his life. And the Apostle Paul illustrated this of him in Philippians, "Let nothing be done through strife nor vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We heard it this morning in the session, that servant spirit, it's got to be there. And the care group is a huge blessing to the people in the care group. But you know what I found? The care group ministry is a huge blessing to the care group leaders. Because it's reminding them over and over, go invest in somebody. Go minister to somebody. Go visit somebody. Go take something to somebody. Expend yourself for others. Just Dr. Getch's message this morning. You want to be renewed? Then empty yourself. Expend yourself. And that's what it's going to do in the lives of those care group leaders. And it's a wonderful thing. Letter F, because caring gives strong witness to the world. Sometimes we get a bad rap that we don't care. And this ministry helps solve that. And it's not that we didn't care, but maybe we didn't know how to care or how to structure the care or how to communicate the care or how to execute the care. And this ministry is helping to accomplish that in the lives of the church and the body of Christ that we have, showing that we love one another. And the world sees that, and it's a great testament to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then letter G, because care groups provide accountability. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Okay, so Galatians is saying, listen, if a man is slipping, somebody go catch him. All right? Well, then who's the best person to do that? And I submit to you this afternoon the person who has a relationship with him. Because real, authentic ministry best takes place in an arena of a relationship. An established relationship that has been cultivated and nurtured. You see, the guy who's been praying for me, visiting me, caring for me, investing in me, and loving me, if he comes up to me and says, "Hey man, where you been? I've missed you." That feels genuine. That doesn't make me want to be like, "Hey, what are you asking me that for?" It makes me want to say, "Man, I've been hurting. We've had a lot going on, and this has happened, and that's happened." And there's a relationship there. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to encourage folks about faithfulness and so on. We should, and I do. But I'm just saying the receptivity of that is highest when it comes to a relationship. And when you have these care groups and you're dividing your adult Sunday school into care groups within your classes and assigning leaders, and those leaders are caring for those people and loving those people and ministering to those people, when there's a slippage, when there's a bit of an absentee problem, when there's a bit of a spiritual decline in soul winning or giving or evening service attendance or whatever, that person is the perfect person on the front line to go talk with them and re-engage them in what it is that they were doing for the Lord. So it provides some accountability, and that person who's developed that relationship carries out that responsibility best. So let me give you secondly then the routines of a great care group leader. So the reasons for care groups, and I've given you some, we could have given you more, but let's look at the routines of a care group leader, a great or an effective care group leader. What are they routinely doing? And so if you're a care group leader in this room, you want to routinely do this. If you begin care groups, you want to train your care group leaders to routinely do this and help them with these characteristics and attributes. Letter A, generally walk with God. That's not rocket science, I know. But if we're going to care for others, we're going to have to expend. If we expend, we better be putting stuff in. We so often just expend and expend and expend and don't put anything in. And especially in the role of a care group leader, one of the greatest things you're doing is setting an example. And so if the example is fresh because of your walk with God, it will be a huge help to those in whom you are caring for. As Paul said, be followers of me as even as I am of Christ. And that's what a care group leader should be able to say. And we're not perfect, but that should be our goal. Hey, I'm not going to be perfect. And by the way, you're going to watch me repent and get right and be revived. And that's all right. That's part of life. But to the best of my ability, I'm going to live for the Lord. And you follow me as I follow Christ. And we talked yesterday in some sessions about the importance of being in homes and so forth. Why? Because so much of it is the example that's provided. You know, the average person in church, as they hear the pastor preaching the message and they hear all of the truths being extolled, they're thinking in their mind, I can't do that. But they watch you walking out of the building and they say, well, maybe I could be like him. It's the way people think. They need someone to pattern after. They need to be able to look at somebody and say, you know what, I think I might be able to do that. And we want to be in that mode, setting the right example, and this can be done through the care group ministry with leaders that are genuinely walking with God. By the way, let me say this quickly. If you're going to oversee this area in your church, then invest in your care group leaders. What I've done in my own class, I have 10 care group leaders. That's 10 couples. And for my wife and I, they are our care group. Those are the people I'm investing in. Now, I visit every visitor. I visit absentees. The Lord knows I expend a lot of energy for the families that I have the privilege to influence. But something I'm constantly looking at is, what am I doing for our care group leaders? Is there a note of gratitude? Is there a gift card? Is there a book? Is there a CD? Is there a time of luncheon? Is there a time of training? What am I doing? How am I investing? What am I doing to equip? What am I doing to train? What am I doing for them? And as the leader, that's something I've done. I have the privilege of overseeing that for the church ministry here. So once a year, I meet with all the care group leaders of every class, and we provide them some training and resources and so forth. And so help with that if you're going to be overseeing it. Then care group leaders should be walking with God, letter B. They should be praying for their care group members. Praying for their care group members. And again, not rocket science, I recognize, but if you're interested in the ministry of care groups and you're developing a bit of a job description, which we gave you in your handout, but one of the things that care group leaders should be doing is praying for the families and their care group on a daily basis. If you took your adult Sunday school and broke it down by 5 or 7 family units or 5 or 7 singles and gave them some leaders, and those leaders called those names out before God every day of every week of every year, that would make a difference in a lot of Sunday schools across this country. Praying for them every day. My wife and I, for years now, our practice on Sunday morning has been to pray for our class roster by name. And it takes a little while, but that's just something that we have cultivated. It's just something we do. And every Sunday morning, we go through that and we pray by name for those individuals in our class. And what a blessing it is to be right back here and shaking hands as they come in the door. And it's an answer to prayer walking down the hallway. Man, they haven't been there in a couple weeks. And I'm glad you came. We prayed for you this morning. And we want to make sure that we're involved in the ministry of praying for them, and care group leaders should do that. Care group leaders, letter C, should be faithfully attending class in church. If you're a care group leader in here or going to be, you've got to make sure you're faithful. Moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. We need to be faithful. We don't need less church today. We need more church today, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And if you're going to oversee care group leaders, you want to make sure that they are being faithful to class and to church. That's practical, but watch this. As you put people in areas of influence over other people, they become a greater target for the wicked one to take out. Because now as I take them out, I've got 5 or 7 families with a vacuum of leadership and influence that are wondering, where did so-and-so go? He used to come to my home. He used to talk to me about things of the Lord, and I don't even see him in church. Where did he go? And when things like that happen, it can have the potential to really hurt maybe their faith. And I'm speaking of a lot of new believers here that you may have in that type of program. So you want to make sure as a care group leader, you're faithful. You're setting the right example. And by the way, we're not just there to set the right example. We're there because we need it. I've grown up my whole life in church. And to this point, all I can say is I probably needed more. So we need to faithfully be there as much as we can. Then letter D, a faithful care group leader should be tithing. And you say, that's kind of an interesting thought about being a care group leader. Listen, where your treasure is, there's your heart. If you're a care group leader in this room or overseeing care group leaders, I challenge you, first of all, individually in stewardship. In my opinion, you should be doing more in the area of stewardship right now than you've ever been before. I don't know how much time we have left. And when the Lord sounds the trumpet, the one person I don't want to be in the rears with is him. I want to make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. and my tithing and my offering and my missions and my Gideons and my building fund and whatever else your church is doing. And aren't you thankful we attend churches that have a lot of opportunities to give? Amen. But it's a wonderful thing, and we want to be involved in that, and we should be if we're going to lead others. And then letter E, a care group leader should be soul winning. Should be soul winning. An effective care group leader is routinely involved in soul winning. Soul winning keeps the Christian life in perspective. It just does. I made a visit last Saturday to a couple in our class, and I'm praying for them. But they're living together right now, and they're just brand new to the things of the Lord. And through that meeting, come to find out he's been married 3 other times prior to this relationship. And she's been married 2 other times prior to this relationship. And they have children here, there, and everywhere. And it's just so complicated and complex. And what a mess. You know what it does to the soul winner? You just go home and you wrap your arms around your own family and just say to God, thank you. That stuff I was leaving the house about this morning, kind of mumbling about, forget it. It's okay. We're doing fine. You've been more than good. Forget all that stuff I was talking about before. Everything's fine. I'm thankful. There's just something about being involved in soul winning that creeps the Christian life in perspective. And for care group leaders who are going to provide care for people, you don't want this we're maintaining the aquarium mode to set in. And care group leaders are doing a lot of that. But you want to keep a fire and a fresh oil by staying involved in soul winning. And what I like to do with our care group leaders, and I did this with several new care group leaders this last time, I gave them less than 5 families. And I met with them individually and I said, I gave you 3 families and I'm hoping you'll fill the rest. That was my challenge to them. I'm going to keep working every day of my life to build this class, and I need your help. And I thank God that one of them recently added a family to its own care group, and I thought, way to go, man. That's what it's all about, but keeping them involved in soul winning. Letter F, they need to be aggressively setting the right example. Care group leaders need to be aggressively setting the right example. We've talked a lot about the fact that the care group leaders who are providing the care, who are meeting needs and those types of things, but they're example. But it sounds like you're just making big of man. I'm not making big of man. Hopefully a care group leader will draw people closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm just telling you, with working with a lot of new believers, getting from the pew to an example of Christ is something very challenging for them to do. It helps them immensely to be able to look at somebody and say, oh, I can do that. Oh, that's what you do. Okay, I can do that. Oh, we don't say that. Okay. It's just helpful to have an example. And if you're going to have care group leaders, people that are giving care to the people in your classes and in your church, you want to make sure they're aggressively setting the right example. You don't want to put someone in leadership that 6 months later you regret. And by the way, a lot of us who oversee people in the ministry, the reason we regret the people in whom we oversee is because we never explained to them what it all entailed when they got on board, and we don't train them. When you begin to enlist care group leaders, and we give you a job description, and you add to it a modified, or you do what you want to do, but I'm just giving you forewarning, it will help you immensely if you go into it saying, we're going to sit down one-on-one, and we're going to articulate what this means, the high value of responsibility they're going to hold because of their influence, and the standard or the leadership requirement we need them to uphold for us, and then I'm going to be committed to continue to train, invest, equip, and encourage them along the way. They need to be aggressively setting the right example. Letter G, they should contact everyone in their care group every week. Now let me give you a little nuts and bolts about care group ministry. I met with our care group leaders about a year ago, and I said, I want you to practice 7-Up. And that wasn't just drinking a lot of soda, but it stood for, I want to get an update from you every Saturday by 7 p.m. And I just want to hear from you how your care group's doing. Who did you visit this week? What needs are there? What prayer requests? And the reason I wanted it done by then, because it's fresh in my mind. Number one, I can pray for it when I pray through the class roster on Sunday morning. Number two, I'm ready. I can shake their hand. Hey, man, heard you had a job interview this week. How'd it go? And I've got stuff fresh in my mind that I've gotten from every care group leader that I can use as I work the room on Sunday morning, connecting with people with all those updates fresh in my mind. So I've encouraged them, keep me updated. And they do that by staying connected with their care group. Now, we talked about this a little bit with the teachers yesterday with the paradigm of an attendance or enrollment. And here's what I want to say to you. If you are a care group leader, going to be a care group leader, or oversee care group leaders, all right? You don't want to look at the aspect of connecting with them every week as this drudgery, like, oh, all right, what am I going to do this week? I could write a note, make a phone call, make a visit, have them over, you know, and I've got to do something, or Brother Rule's going to call me or whatever, you know. You don't want it to be, I have to do this thing. This is not a list of people you have to contact every week to keep them, you know, on the straight and narrow. This is a list of people you're committed to caring for, ministering to, praying for, making a difference in their life. So let the Lord lead. Do you want to go visit them? Do you want to have them in your home? You want to jot them a note? You want to call them on the phone? You want to invite them to go make a visit with you? Maybe there's a week you don't have a personal connection, but you're praying for them intensely. It doesn't have to be a mechanical, scientific, here, you know, every first week I call and every second week I write a letter. It doesn't have to be that. But there needs to be consistent, regular contact with the people in the group. And if you structure it this way, we really encourage our care group leaders, focus on the absentees. Because again, you start seeing those people slip out. Go get connected with them. And if they've got that relationship developed, it's very effective. Letter H, encourage everyone in their care group. An effective care group leader is consistently encouraging everyone in their care group. They are encouraging them to grow spiritually. Here's what I challenge. I have 10 care group leaders. Here's what I challenge them to do. Go through your care group, your 5 or 7 families, and answer the question, what's next? Have you heard their salvation testimony? Have they been baptized? Are they coming to church faithfully? Are they in discipleship? Are they in the ministry? Where are they? Where are they in the growth journey within the body of Christ at Lancaster Baptist, and according to His grace, where are they? And find out where they are and know in your mind, this is next. This person needs to be baptized. They need to get involved in discipleship. I never see them in the evenings. I'm going to encourage them to come sit by me. And if you want to get somebody to come on Sunday night, invite them to your home afterwards for some food. That usually will help with that process for sure. So know where they are and encourage them to grow. Letter I, they're keeping their teacher informed of any needs. And we talked about the 7-Up example there. But keeping the teacher informed, helping them know what things are coming up that he needs to be aware of. Letter J, they're assisting their class support team each week in any way they can. In our class, we have someone who is designed. You meet first-time visitors, make sure they get a connection card, get it filled out, get it turned back in. I've got a greeter right here that's handing out bulletins. I've got two ladies that stand right there and take attendance. I've got a team over here that's serving refreshments. I've got somebody over here playing the piano. I've got somebody right here leading the singing. I've got somebody sitting right there doing media, and I teach. So for his design to operate, it takes 12 to 15 people every Sunday, and that's by design. Because you need to get people involved in ministry. You need something for them to do. I can't do all that. That we have to have a team. It takes a team to make that thing work. And I want my care group leaders to know how that thing works. And some of them are involved in that team and some of them are not. But I want them to know how it works and who the team is. And I want them to help. If they meet a guest, they might say, oh, have you met Craig and Rebecca and gotten your response card yet? Well, let's help you with that. Why? Because they know the team. They know the structure. They know what we're doing on a Sunday morning. And they know if something's not right to be involved and to help with that. You want to make sure that's clearly communicated to them. Then letter K, they're attending the class activities. They're attending the class activities. Our class has an activity once every month. And I encourage the care group leaders, encourage your care group to be there, and it would sure be helpful if you were as well. And they can't beat every one of them, and I get that. But we have great care group leaders, and they're there by and large. They're getting their care group there. They're helping with the activities. They're a real blessing, and I thank God for that. Thirdly, what is the results of care groups? It has been said that the corporate service is to draw our attention, to build the vertical relationship of man to God. Care groups help to strengthen the horizontal relationship of man to man, and we need both. What do they provide? Letter A, they provide a comfort zone. You said, I thought it was bad to be comfortable, but listen where I'm going. It's been said a growing church is always in transition. If somebody attends Lancaster Baptist Church for any length of time, they're going to change rooms, they're going to change times, they may change teachers, they're going to change schedules, stuff's going to change. Because a growing church is always, always, always in transition. But you know what will help them to stay? Relationship. A care group leader. A friend. A constant in the midst of change. It helps to provide a comfort level, a stabilizer, if you will, in the ever-changing landscape of a growing church. Letter B, they provide lasting relationships. People have a tough time leaving a place where they are generally loved and cared for. That's a fact. Letter C, they provide a safety net for people in needs. Every one of us in the ministry have run. I did this the other night. My wife and kids were gone for a week. They came back into town. We ran to Olive Garden to get dinner. I walked in the door and a guy walked out. I led to the Lord several months ago. He's not here. And it was just in that moment like, man, what happened to him? And he was with a lady I didn't recognize and I don't know the story. And we just exchanged a 30-second thing and I invited him to come back. But my mind going into that restaurant was, what happened to him? Where did he go? And anyone in the ministry in length of time, you know what I'm talking about. But this kind of a ministry, if it's run right, helps to kind of plug those holes, gives you that safety net to keep people involved and encouraged and in meeting their needs. Letter D, they're providing accountability. Care groups can hold each other accountable in a very unique way because they have the relationships earned to do it in the way that it needs to be done. And then letter E, they provide a way to keep the church small. I said in the beginning, everybody wants to attend a growing, vibrant, on fire, soul-winning, life-changing, small church. And we can give it to them because we can grow larger and smaller all at the same time. What people are saying is when I attend church, I want there to be real friendships. I want there to be warmth. I want there to be sincerity. I want there to be a family atmosphere. And you know what? I do too. And if somebody comes to Lancaster Baptist and all they ever do is attend the auditorium service, it's going to be really hard to get that. But you can come to a small group, and we can provide that, and we can put you in a care group, and I guarantee you we'll do our dead level best to meet every one of those things in your heart and in your life. The size of your church, and as the Lord blesses and as it grows, becomes increasingly irrelevant to people as long as their needs are being met. So I would challenge you today, if you're a care group leader, to strive to be the best care group leader that you can be. If you're considering a care group type ministry, my encouragement would be to you, assess your church and ask this question. Are the needs of the members being met? Are they relationally connecting? Are they nurturing relationships that last and tie and bond and root and ground? And if not, then maybe the implementation of a care group ministry would help us to structure such a ministry that would meet those needs in their life.